1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 4 to 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 4 to 6. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas, or I only, and Barnabas? Have not we power to forbear working? Power to eat and drink is the title of today's exhortation, taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 4 to 6. If we have worked, should we not be entitled to eat and drink? Surely, as every other human being, this basic needs need to be maintained. Yet, the Apostle Paul did not insist his basic right to food and drink to maintain human life. He did not insist even on his right to eat and to drink. Very basic, isn't it? And yet, those are the things that he did not hold dear unto his life. He explained in Romans 14, verse 21, it is good neither to eat nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Spiros Zodiatis, he said, well, the lesson here, firstly, the apostles don't have to be ascetics to show their apostolicity. In other words, they do not have to purposely refrain themselves from the basic necessities of life. They are entitled to the basic provisions of life. They ought to exercise voluntary restrictions here in this verse in view of the weak conscience of their brethren and unbelievers. Here you see how far a man of God would go in order that the gospel work may not be impeded but be advanced. And then he speaks concerning the right to marry in verse 5. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as the other apostle, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? The Apostle Paul states clearly that as a servant of God, he has the right to marry and to have a wife also by the church as he goes about in the work of the ministry. The fact that he is not married, it does not mean that he does not have the basic privilege to have a helpmeet in a marital union. But he is not exercising his rights to marriage. Does not mean that others would have chosen to remain unmarried. For him, he remained unmarried for the reason that he may be able to focus and do the work of God. That is why he remains single. He has in view the glory of God, the purpose of God for the people of God. The dissenters seem to be stating that because he's not married, he cannot be a true apostle. And there are other apostles like Peter and the siblings of our Lord Jesus who did marry. Let them be married and be taken care of by the church. But for the Apostle Paul, he testifies He says in Philippians 3:8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." His focus in his life was upon the glory of God. His focus in life was to please his master. And even in things most basic pertaining to food and drink, you see that oftentimes he was hungry. Oftentimes he was without the basic necessities of life. Why did he subject himself to such restrictions when he could have all these basic needs provided for? Well, he understood that he has a mission for his Lord. And he was willing to suffer indeed the loss of these things. And we see here the Apostle Paul stating and speaking. He's defending his decision. Zotiatis summarized well for us here when he said, "Paul defends his decision to remain unmarried for the purpose of serving the Lord in an unhindered way." An unmarried person, if you are going on a mission trip and you'll be away for a long time, how could you leave your wife, children, for long periods of time? Who will take care of them? You have a basic responsibility to your family, isn't it? So the Apostle Paul saw these things. He understood. He, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, has the same right to be married as any other apostle or brother of the Lord. Being an apostle and a brother of the Lord did not deprive them of the privileges of marriage and the maintenance of their bodies. But for the Apostle Paul, he remained single. And not only so, you would see that oftentimes there were sufferings even with regard to the very basic necessities of life. And that's a challenge, isn't it? You bring your family out for a meal, you know that you will not eat this kind of food because it would cost this much, but you would take this type because it would cost this much. There is a price to pay, isn't it? And he understood that he's following the Lord Christ, and he was willing to pay the price, the cost of it. He served the Lord not because of his own belly. So he wrote, "Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to marry?" He did not exercise these because he understood that it would affect the weak conscience of the people around him. Power to forbear working. Or I, verse 6, only, and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? When Paul and Barnabas ministered in Corinth with the establishment of the church, they did not want support from those in Corinth, although they had every right to do so. There were many in Corinth who were materially affluent. Observed Zodiatis, he says, they did not want any misunderstanding and be accused of coming to Corinth to enrich themselves. Instead, they worked with their hands as tent makers. They understood. They didn't want the testimony of Christ to be tainted. He didn't want that. So he'd rather suffer it. That's commendable. And he had to say it. He had to let them know, in order that they would understand that he truly cared for them and for the cause of Christ. When Paul and Barnabas would minister, the churches in Macedonia were the main source of support for the Apostle Paul. The churches in Macedonia gave generously, although they were poor, but they were sacrificial. They understood the need. And why did he not take from the affluent ones in Corinth? Because he realizes that they would easily want to associate him to this enriching as a result of preaching the gospel. And that's the least he wanted, that the gospel may not, the gospel work, the gospel itself may not be misunderstood. It may not be made a merchandise. And so he refrained. This enabled him to devote time to the gospel work without taking care of his physical needs through the support of the church in Macedonia. Those were the people whom he knew. Though poor, yet they understood the meaning of giving. And he received from them because he understood that this work would progress correctly. This enabled him to devote time to the gospel work without having to take care of his physical needs. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 to 5. He said this, "Moreover, brethren, we do you the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, and not as we hoped for, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." So Paul understood that these are people who love God, and they gave with a sincere heart, no strings attached, correctly. Zodiati said well the lessons that was gleaned there. Paul does not hesitate to isolate himself as an exception to the general rule of compensation for labor that is performed. He labored with his own hands by being a tent maker along with Priscilla and Aquila, his companions in Corinth. He did not allow his trade to overwhelm him in the use of his time, but he balanced it all that he could make a living and at the same time preach the gospel. He also recalled the example of Barnabas, who probably was well-to-do and neither to labor nor accepted compensation for his spiritual work. He would not allow the Corinthians to consider his apostolic work as being unworthy of compensation because he chose not to receive it. But he defended his choice, the choice that he made to do manual work at the same time to preach the gospel. This was his inalienable right, which no one had the authority to condemn. Isn't it so true? Well, you find that if one has a job and then he has to work in the work of the ministry, you realize that your time would be very much compromised. But for the Apostle Paul, he was beginning a new outreach. He was preaching the gospel in a new place. And he understood the battle that was there, the kind of people that were there in Corinth. And so he had to, by the wisdom of God given to him, find the best way by which the gospel can be preached and the name of Christ can be exalted. And that the work may flourish by the blessing of God. In him making the arrangement that he did when he began the work in Corinth, together with Priscilla and Aquila. They were tent makers. And then there was the church in Macedonia who stepped in to help him. And when the church stepped in to help him, then he could gradually reduce the work of the tent making so that he could devote more time, the time that is needed between meeting the very basic of his physical needs and the need to advance the cause of Christ. Thank God for showing us examples whereby we can learn that it may be our practice also, that we may understand and learn the spirit by which he served God, and how he had to defend himself, make clear, so that the work of God, the name of God, the name of Christ, may be exalted. For his glory, the work of God progressed. So we thank God for this epistle that he has written to the church to help us to see and understand how the gospel work made its progress, how the wisdom of God was upon him. Then he submitted himself to the will of God, and the work prosper. May God help us, strengthen us to understand what his good will is, and grant to us the strength to obey and to follow him. despite the losses, in spite of the losses. May God help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. Strengthen us, Lord. Help us to understand and know the Spirit that Thou hast placed upon the Apostle Paul to serve Thee with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, we thank Thee for his devotion, and we pray that Thou would help us to learn his example, the spirit of service that Thou hast given him. For Thy own honor and glory, help us. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.